I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? I'm back. It's been, 8 weeks since the last episode. I've been on my summer break, and you know what? The weather here in England was a bit of a washout, but never mind, because I actually got to leave the country for the first time in 18 months to go a little bit across the water to my home city of Dublin in Ireland. I was home for almost 2 weeks and I feel rebooted and rejuvenated. It was so good to go back and I am raring to go. What am I going to be talking about on this very first episode back? Well, I thought it was time to dig into something that so many of us are familiar with, even if we don't want to admit it. And it's really about our rather funny old relationship with control. Now, what got me really thinking about this is I talk about control in its various guises all the time. If you engage in people pleasing, perfectionism, overthinking, overgiving, and over responsibility, guess what? You try to control the uncontrollable. You have these habits as a way of trying to manage yourself and to manage your environment, and yes, to sometimes influence and control the feelings and behavior of others. If you find that you are trying to avoid certain things all the time, you might not realize that the things that you do to try to avoid whatever it is are strategies for control. And we tend to be uncomfortable with the term control because we immediately think of, you know, the worst case scenario of it where you're this controlling, abusive person. And I'm going to come back to that later on in this episode. But actually, many of us, most of us, probably all of us have engaged in habits of control. I know that I have had issues with trying to control the uncontrollable because it's what I learned to do in response to what was a chaotic childhood at times. I learned to be afraid and I never really learned when not to be. I learned that it was important to please people, to avoid disappointment, to focus on trying to avoid abandonment, to try to control all the elements around you so that you could try to feel safe and secure. As we all eventually discover, the more that we try to control the uncontrollable is the less in command that we feel of ourselves. But something I really started to pay attention to actually over the summer in particular was one particular element of it. And, you know, it's ironic really, but people share stories with me, their frustrations and resentments with others. And often the things that frustrate us, that make us fume inside, really are about us not having control over the situation or over others. You know, it's the if it were me, I were blah, blah, blah. Or why didn't they do this given that I've done da, 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 da. And it occurred to me that we want to be in control, but we only want to be in control to the degree that we want to be in control. So we actually want to be in control about being in control. So when we experience this frustration and resentment with others, it's because, yeah, we wanted to be in control and there's certain things that are important to us, but now we're more in control than we would like to be. So let me give a few examples to illustrate this. We might choose a partner who seems more authoritative, whether that be that they're assertive, aggressive, overbearing, controlling, a bit of a know-it-all. And we do this so that we can be directed. This is our way of feeling in control of our circumstances by giving somebody else the reins. And this is why we might gravitate to somebody who kind of swoops into our life, takes over, tells us what to do, and we mistake that for like love and attention and for being the type of relationship that we want to be in. So they take the lead and we feel that we're appreciating them by letting them take control. But that's then we wind up feeling and acting like a child. And we resent the person's level of input. It's like, well, I want to be in control of my circumstances in this way by letting you be the leader, but I only want to be in control to this level. I don't want you to have that much control over me. And we feel like the person is maybe talking down to us, treating us like a child, or whatever that might be. And so we resent that, and we might even start acting like a child and acting out as well. What we don't acknowledge in that situation is that we have a fear of being in control of our lives, and that we sort of ceded authority to this person so that we wouldn't have to take responsibility for that. We don't acknowledge that actually we may have gravitated to somebody who reminds us of, for instance, a parent or caregiver who was, you know, very full on. And that's why it's bringing up these uncomfortable feelings in us. But another way actually that this can play out is that we can find that we deliberately choose a passive partner, somebody who tends to go along with whatever we want. And even though this is what we've chosen, over time, we start to resent them for being passive. Why can't they step up? Why am I the one who's got to make all the decisions? Why is it that I have to think everything out? Why haven't they got a spine? Why? And what we don't acknowledge actually is that we chose a passive partner to limit the power struggle and to avoid intimacy. On some level, we felt more in control being with somebody who we thought, not necessarily that they wouldn't answer back, but that we wouldn't have to have too much, I guess, tension, friction coming from somebody else wanting something different to us. We like the idea, in theory, of somebody who appears to be, you know, the identical version of us that wants everything that we do. But in reality, it can start to feel quite cumbersome, quite heavy. And when it extends further than we had anticipated, and so we find that we have more decisions to make than we would like, more responsibility, we can start to resent the person. We can start to lose respect for them, having a go at them in our head or even to their face about them being passive without actually acknowledging that we, on some level, deliberately got involved with them precisely for that reason. Let me share another example of how we only want to be in control to the degree that we want to be in control. Sometimes we take over in our relationship because we don't think that our partner's taking control of their side of the street. We don't think that they're stepping up in some way. So maybe it's about work, maybe it's about co-parenting, maybe it's about how they handle their family, maybe it's about how things are socially, but we feel that they are not stepping up, and there's a level of uncertainty that we have in the relationship. And so we take the reins. We feel like we have to take charge. And then we resent them for letting us be in control. And we feel exhausted by our level of control. What we don't actually acknowledge is that we like to be in control. Or certainly we fear not being in control. And we may not actually have been prepared to allow our partner to struggle. Now, when I say allowing our partner to struggle, I don't mean that we literally see them struggling and we're like, yeah, whatever, you can crack on your own. You know, I'm going to leave you to it. It's more that the slightest hint of imperfection, the slightest hint that maybe they're not going to do things our way, the slightest hint that maybe they are making a mistake or they're failing, and we will feel the need to jump in. We will feel the need to take over or to certainly start being on their case because we're afraid that they're not going to do things in the way that we'd like them to do it. And we might not necessarily have started out in a relationship this way. We might, for instance, normally extend these, you know, these sort of controlling ways towards our work, but now that something has happened in the relationship that we feel out of control of, we've had that scope creep. So now the scope of what we're involving ourselves in is far beyond what is really permissible, you know, healthy within the relationship. And so what can happen then is when we take over in our relationship and we don't really allow our partner to do things because we're fearful that they're going to get it wrong, that they're going to make a mistake, that they're going to fail, that something terrible is going to happen, we can end up, yeah, taking over. We can tell them off as if they are a child. We can talk down to them and we can end up losing respect. We can actually go around in a rather cavalier manner, making decisions, making assumptions and presumptions, not involving them in it, and then being frustrated by the outcome of it and the level of responsibility we have without actually acknowledging that we didn't sit down with this person and say, I'm thinking about doing such and such because I'm afraid that you're blah, 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 blah. And as a result, this resentment and this frustration builds. And it doesn't mean that whatever, for instance, our partner is doing isn't frustrating, that it isn't problematic. But if we couch it as they're the one who's the problem and I'm the one who's always handling everything, what we're ignoring is our problematic controlling ways that are also contributing to the situation. We don't acknowledge that we're getting mad at them for allowing us to engage in controlling habits that we already have. In these situations where we've taken over in our relationship, it's not uncommon to feel exhausted, neglected, lonely, alone, taken advantage of, undersupported, and we blame our partner for the choices that we're making. Somewhere else where we can be guilty of taking over in a relationship is with our parents. So we might decide that because our parents are of a certain age or because they have been unwell, that we now need to sort of step in and take over and organize their lives and sort of be on their case or hover over them. And then what happens is because we've sort of gone and made these decisions from a place of anxiety and fear, which is understandable to have this, we can become quite anxious about what's happening with our parents, with our loved ones, as they age or as they encounter illness and other challenges. But what we don't acknowledge is that sometimes we have come up with our idea of what being elderly or what being ill means. And then we just dive in and we decide how things are without necessarily consulting with the person in question. And they might not want the level of input that we're trying to have. And then we feel, again, exhausted, neglected, resentful, lonely, underappreciated, when they're not doing a jig over the fact that we have exhausted ourselves trying to be and do everything, that maybe we've taken a day off work that they didn't ask us to take. And another example of where we eventually become resentful of the level of control that we have in a relationship is where we play rescuer, which effectively puts the other person in the role of victim or as of being the one who needs to have their life fixed and healed and changed for them by us. Now, we need more control in our relationship than we think. And so when we gravitate to the role of rescuer, it's because we need to be needed. It's because we seem to need a level of imbalance in our relationship to feel safe and secure. And also because on some level, we're trying to heal something in ourselves by trying to rescue others. The problem is, of course, is that over time, if we're the rescuer, we begin to resent the other party for needing us as much as they do, for not making changes as quickly as we might like them to, for not appreciating all of the things that we go around being and doing, even if they didn't necessarily ask us to do this stuff, and even if it means that we're overstepping boundaries. An example of something that I hear a lot about is that, you know, we play rescuer in these situations. And then when we hear that the person is going to somebody else for advice or that they went to somebody else for in a crisis or that they were out, I don't know, hanging out with somebody else, we feel neglected. We feel passed over. We feel unappreciated. We feel like we're being used. And this resentment can mount without us acknowledging that actually it's unhealthy to adopt roles in relationships anyway, but also that part of us gravitated to being in this relationship because it allowed us to play this role, and so as such allowed us to be in control. And I talk extensively about roles across various episodes, but the best episode for it is episode 128, which I'll make sure that I link to in the show notes. So here's the crack. So many of us as humans try to control the uncontrollable. And we have learned to do this really in a response to old hurts and losses from much earlier on in life. Times when we felt out of control. Times when we felt wounded. Times when we felt let down. Times where it was like, oh my gosh, this is so uncertain. So we did not feel safe and secure. Feeling this way, feeling afraid of uncertainty, is part of being human. And so we don't need to hate on ourselves because we try to control the uncontrollable at times, but we do need to be aware of the degree to which we do it. And that awareness is really coming down to noticing what our habits are around it, noticing how it impacts on our well-being. So for instance, if we try to be in control of everything at work by doing everything, then of course we're going to wind up being burnt out. And if we don't acknowledge that on some level, we're afraid that we're going to lose our job, we're afraid that we're not going to be the best, we're afraid that we're going to be found to be at fault. If we don't acknowledge this stuff, we're going to behave in problematic ways that are not only an issue for us in terms of our well-being, but are actually going to encroach on others as well. So again, it's about acknowledging the degree to which you trying to control the uncontrollable is affecting one, you, and two, your interpersonal relationships. But make no mistake about it. If you want and pursue control in your relationships, even if you won't necessarily admit it, you don't want a mutual relationship. It's not possible to have a mutual relationship and also be in control too. Because to be in control means avoiding vulnerability. It means avoiding intimacy. It means playing roles so that you can feel safe and secure. And so you can go, right, X plus Y equals Z. You know, X is what you do. Y is what you think the other person is going to do, and Z is what you think will happen. And this is where you end up being frustrated by your own expectations. Trying to be in control is really like white knuckling life. So imagine clinging on to something really, really hard, and you will start to see the impact that that has on your body, the way you're interacting with whatever that thing is. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of stress, and that's not healthy. The thing is as well that when you're white-knuckling life, white-knuckling work, relationships, whatever it might be, you end up taking control or trying to of things that are not within your control. So you're not in command of yourself. So you don't really meet your responsibilities. You overstep boundaries. Yeah. So that's yours as well as other people's boundaries. And you end up investing a lot of your bandwidth. So your time, energy, effort, and emotions into things that you really don't need to. And the only reason why we are trying to be in control to the degree that we are, and then feeling resentful and frustrated when we have that level of control or more of it than we anticipated, is because of the old hurts and losses from before. There are things that we have experienced earlier in life that taught us that there is a need to be in control in this way. We may have been taught directly by the people around us, or we may have picked up certain messages where we were like, yeah, this is the way that life is. So for instance, like, think of me, like, I'm a recovering people pleaser, perfectionist, and overthinker. And I have been terrified of failure, terrified of making mistakes, terrified of not being the best or being found to be faulty. And that has driven a lot of my life. And it's something that I've really had to learn to sit alongside with and have some compassion for my younger self about, because I learned to be this way because of what I experienced in childhood, because of how hard I judged myself and because of how I judged life. And I didn't realize it was control. I just thought it was the way that life is. It didn't occur to me that actually I don't necessarily have to do these things. So it has been a gradual unlearning. This is why I say that adulthood is about unlearning all of the harmful and unproductive messages and lessons that we picked up along the way. The challenges that we come up against, discovering our resentment, our frustration, our exhaustion, our anxiety, these give us clues about where we are trying to be in control of things that we truly do not need to be, and where we truly need to acknowledge our own boundaries and respect those of others as well. It's important to acknowledge, if you recognize control as being a factor in your life, that you are trying to get or avoid something. Whatever it is that you're doing, you think, okay, well, if I do this or I don't do that, then this or this is going to happen. And you've got to look at, where is this tripping you up, but where is it also interfering with your sense of well-being and also with the quality of your relationships? It's not possible, as I said, to have truly intimate relationships and also be trying to control the relationship at the same time. Intimacy and control do not go together. So in episode 123, where I talked about the five stages of relationships, so in stage two, which is where the real getting to know begins and you start to really get a sense of each other's boundaries, what is and isn't permissible, you know, get a sense of each other's values. This is where a power struggle can ensue, and that's coming from one or both parties trying to be in control. Once that's let go of, then you progress beyond there to stage three and four. When control starts to creep up in a relationship, it keeps it at stage two, or it pushes it back to stage two. So it's important to recognize where you're engaging in too much of trying to control the uncontrollable, to notice where it is impacting on your relationship, to pay attention to those repeat resentments and frustrations. The thing as well that you have to acknowledge as well about control is that humans act out against control by behaving bad enough that, for instance, the other person will end things, or that they will be let go of, for instance, from the job or from the project or whatever it is. And in some instances, it comes out as, for instance, cheating. It's a way of rebelling against what they perceive to be the level of control, acting out, playing hooky. This is where an important question arises. Does wanting to control the uncontrollable, or having controlling habits, equal I am an abuser or I am a controlling person? And in short, no. That doesn't mean that your behavior, your habits aren't problematic. They are. But what you need to acknowledge is whether you're trying to influence and control other people's feelings and behavior via people-pleasing, perfectionism, overgiving, overthinking, and over-responsibility, or whether you're trying to influence and control other people's feelings and behavior by force. So it's the same thing, the influencing and controlling other people's feelings and behavior, but coming at it from two very, very different places. While going down the sort of the passive-aggressive route will pose a problem in your interpersonal relationships and your work, you are actually going to bear the brunt of that. With the people-pleasing, the perfectionism, the overgiving, the overthinking, the over-responsibility, you bear the brunt of that. It doesn't mean that there are not issues at work or in your interpersonal relationships, but you bear the brunt of that. You're the one selling you down the river to avoid vulnerability, including putting your needs, expectations, desires, feelings, and opinions on the back burner if you think that it will allow you to be in control and avoid vulnerability. When somebody is trying to influence and control your feelings and behavior by force, they take no prisoners, okay? By hook or by crook, by any means necessary, they are going to get you to sign on to their agenda, even if it means breaking you. There'll be the gaslighting, you know, the head games, the coercion, the emotional blackmail. There might be verbal, physical, you know, financial abuse. There's a whole load of stuff going on there. The person will say and do whatever it takes to assert that level of force over you in order to maintain the control. They'll tell you everything that you want to hear to get you back in after you've finally broken away, and then they'll flip it all around on you to get back into the hot seat and have control of the relationship. Trying to control the uncontrollable is something that so many of us wrestle with. It is our response to old hurts and losses. It is our emotional baggage. And when we acknowledge this, we can not only have more self-compassion, but we can actually have more compassion for others who are struggling with their own issues around control. It is important for us to acknowledge repeat frustrations, repeat resentments, noticing where we're saying stuff like, if it were me, I would do blah, 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 blah. Why can't they blah, 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 blah. Noticing where we are mad at people for not doing things in the way we think that they should, for not meeting expectations that were possibly not very realistic in the first place. It is important as well to acknowledge the baggage behind it. You know, a great revelation for me this year was realizing that I have sometimes found myself really stressing out about certain things. You know, I don't know, the tidiness of the house or whatever. And I had this light bulb moment one day where I realized it's only really me that cares about these things. I'm not saying that my husband or my kids don't care at all about tidiness or cleanliness. They do, but they don't care about it in the way that I do. They don't stress about it in the way that I do. And when I acknowledged that, I was like, oh, this is another example of where you trying to control the uncontrollable really manifests itself, where I try to be in control of all this stuff in the house. Once I acknowledged this about myself and acknowledged where it comes from, there was a real relief in that. I felt more understanding of myself, but I also felt less, irritation and frustration and sometimes, resentment towards them when they weren't doing things in the way that I wanted them to do it. What's the baggage behind it? That's the question that I've been asking on here ever since episode 2. It's not that people are not pissing us off. It's not that they're not letting us down. It's not that the thing is not as annoying as it is. But we would not be responding in the way that we are if we didn't already have some baggage around this. What's the baggage behind it? And also, what is it that we are afraid of? If we're afraid of something happening, so we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of making a mistake, we're afraid of getting things wrong, we're afraid of being hurt, what are we doing specifically to mitigate for that, to avoid that? Because this points to the things that we are doing to be in control. And we all have our own personal brand of it, right? Sure, there'll be crossover with others, but we have to pay attention to the content of our lives and start to discern what is true for us. So yes, Bobby might run around trying to control things in certain ways, but actually we might go about it in a different way. And you know what, right? Don't split hairs over this and be like, well, my brand of controlling is nice because I'm trying to please people, as opposed to, I don't know, trying to be forceful and abusive towards people. Yeah, but this nice stuff is also problematic as well. I've talked about this in the podcast before. I'll make sure I link to this in the show notes, but it's that question of, are you being nice or are you actually being controlling? Are you being nice or are you hiding your anger? Are you being nice or are you hiding fear? So we have to really get honest with ourselves about the ways in which we go around trying to control the uncontrollable. If you have people-pleasing, perfectionism, overgiving, overthinking, and over-responsibility in your life in any way, shape, or form, these are telling you something about your relationship with control. If you find that you grapple with a lot of anxiety or you experience overwhelm, resentment, frustration, please check in. This is telling you something about control, specifically that you've tried to be in control of something that you don't even need to be in control of. And that if you actually stopped doing that, one, you'd allow more vulnerability and intimacy into your life, and two, you'd actually experience a great deal more joy. In stopping the whole white knuckling of life, you'd finally surrender and allow you to be you. You'd start to let go of the emotional baggage that drives that desire to control, and you'd get back to love, care, trust, and respect. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm at Nat Lu. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/234. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com.